and God is here. So don't be put off by any noise outside, or don't be put off by your emotions. The God who's present in worship is present when we read his word. Let's just pray as we begin our focus on God's word. God, we thank you that you hear every prayer, that you know every heart, that you are above all and beyond all, that you, Lord Jesus, rule and reign. Holy Spirit, you are over all the earth, and yet you're with us, the people of God. God, thank you that you know us even better than we know ourselves. God, I ask that we will not hide from you, that we will not keep back from you that which is yours. Thank you that you deserve our everything. And thank you, God, that when you see us, praise, when you see us worship, that you're pleased. Thank you that you receive from us as a parent receives from children. And God, thank you that your word sustains us. So as we focus on your word now, and as the children do the same, God, we speak the life of your word over us, over the children, and over those we will meet, so that your kingdom will come. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were here last week, you should remember this jar. And if you weren't, I'll explain. But for those, I'll explain in a moment. For those who were here last week, how many of these five names on your sheet do you remember? Or I could ask the question another way. For which five people have you been praying this week? For which five people have you been praying this week? And that should give a clue to those of you who weren't here. What we did last week was we wrote down the names of five people for whose salvation we are trusting. We wrote down the names of five people for whose salvation we're trusting. If you can't remember all five, then maybe you're not praying for them enough this last week. But just to help you remember, and to include those who weren't here last week, I've got some more cards. And the shofar cards are for you to write down the five. So for those who were here last week, it's a memory test. And if you weren't here last week, then I'm going to give you a blank sheet of paper to write down the same five and then pop them in the jar. If you weren't here last week. So all of us can write down on the shofar cards, and then any who weren't here last week can take another card. Sorry. So if you weren't here last week, then write down the same five names and if you need a pen, okay, then there's some pencils on the chairs, a few, and some in the basket here as well. Maybe not. So five names. Have you ever had a pray off with somebody? So you're praying for two mutually exclusive. You're praying for one outcome and somebody else is praying for another outcome and they're mutually exclusive. So maybe some British people last night were praying that Andy Murray would recover from his shoulder injury and win the tennis game. Maybe the Italians were praying that Seppi would win. But they can't both be answered. Yes. They could. One can be answered yes and the other be answered no. But they can't both be answered yes. That's a pray-off. So which prayer is going to get to God? Are the Italians more righteous or are the English more righteous? Because Sally quoted James chapter 5, verse 16 earlier. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So perhaps we can assume or deduce, extrapolate, that the prayer of the unrighteous lacks power and lacks effect. So an effective prayer, I can switch on the light and it has an effect. I can light a candle and it has an effect. But if I turn on a floodlight, it's powerful and effective. And Scripture tells us, James tells us, that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So that was for those who were here last week. For which five people have we been praying? Let me ask this next question. What's the most recent answer to prayer that you've received? What's the most recent answer to prayer that you've received? And you don't have to answer aloud. Are some of you still writing? Sorry. Let me not forget. When you've finished, keep the shofar card and then pop the other one in here. No one's going to read these unless we all choose to. It's just a reminder. Keep the shofar card and then put the other one in here. If you don't want to partake, you don't have to partake. But we're not going to take these out and read them. They're just a reminder to us that not only are there my five family and friends for whom I'm praying, but also many others as well. So, what's the most recent answer to prayer? How far back do you have to go? Decades, years, months, weeks? Maybe you're a parent and you prayed that your children would behave well in church. Ruth is behaving very well in church this morning, but I can't see the other four. Last week, we were thinking, how can we make setup of church easier? We might come along for a start of a service at 11, and it actually takes quite a long while, a couple of hours probably beforehand and a couple of hours afterwards, just to set out and then pack down. And for those of you who remember when we used to meet in the Hyde Park room at St. George's, we used to be able to use the hospital trolleys and the cages. So it's like a cage on wheels. And we've not had one since we were there. So we thought, well, maybe that would make it easier. And so we prayed. And then we looked at the prices and a few hundred pounds to buy one of those cages. And so we thought, well, maybe we can ask someone in the hospital if they can give us one, or ask Deepak's in Tooting if they've got an old one. And then Sally was just, I think, praying again on the following day. And she said, God, you know we need one. And she was on the bus, and she saw one. It was just on the street in Tooting. So we said, well, God, if it's for us, then when I go there, let it still be there. And it was. So I wheeled it from Tooting to Wimbledon. Nobody asked me any questions. It was broad daylight, so we weren't hiding anything. But we now have that trolley, and that was an answer to prayer. If you prayed for those five people, or maybe you prayed for one, two, three, four of them, this last week, then were there any answers this week? No, if there were answers, then share them in a small group. I had 5 people on the list, and one person on the list I hadn't seen for quite a long time, and I saw her the following day and was able to invite her to day 2 encounter 1. A second person on the list, I think I saw maybe 2 days later, and was able to invite him to a small group. And then there was a couple on the list, so I wasn't sure to put them down as 1 or 2. But they phoned during the week and haven't phoned for quite a long time. And sometimes when we receive an answer to prayer, we perhaps don't realize it's an answer to prayer. So when this couple phoned, they were asking an inconvenient question at an inconvenient time, and I was about to get exasperated. And then only later did I realize that actually it's probably an answer to the prayer. And you may remember in scripture the disciples were praying for the release of Peter from prison. And an angel came and released him. And he came to the room where they were praying. And they said, effectively, "Don't disturb us, we're praying." The prayer had already been answered, but they were unwilling or unable to see the answer. When we start to pray for people, God will usually involve us in the answer. God will usually involve us in the answer. So before you start to pray for those 5 people, or as you continue to pray for those 5 people, if you were here last week, be prepared to be the answer to your own prayer. I mean, that makes sense, because if it's your friends, your family, whose names are on that sheet of paper that's in the jar, then you probably have a heart for them. And we're focusing on the personal, but there's kind of other avenues for prayer as well. So not only will we pray for those 5, but if you look, there's some people here this week who weren't here last week, and some people here last week who aren't here this. There's quite a few pieces of paper in there. So not only are we praying personally, but we're also praying as a congregation. So as a congregation, and that's what we do at intercession. And if you can come to church early, then do, because we always get together once we've done all the setup and got ready for the service, and we pray just to ask God to do what he has on his agenda, not to fit in with our agenda. And we not only pray on a Sunday morning, but we also pray on a Monday evening as well. So 8 o'clock, and this week we're going to pray at Little Gates, which is our school just down the road. And the school's going to close. The Salvation Army want their building back. So there's 2 weeks left of term, plus 1 day. But we want to finish well, and prayer helps us in that. So if you're able to join at Little Gates tomorrow evening, then please come. We're meeting there at 8 o'clock to pray. We also had a mission team who were here during the week. They have gone to Scotland now, so many of you perhaps may not have met them if you weren't at intercession or small group. But they came, 7 of them, from South Africa, most of them students, not all. And they came not just to London, but they went to Cardiff for 1 day. Last night they travelled through the night. They did a lot of megabus miles through the night to Scotland, and then they're going to fly to the Republic of Ireland, and then go to Northern Ireland, and then back to South Africa. And they didn't come for a holiday. They didn't come for a conference. They came to pray. They came all that way and funded themselves. Some of them are still funding themselves just to pray. Now, prayer is effective if we're righteous. We have, Sally said it earlier, we've been saved from the pit. We don't have any righteousness of our own. But God makes us righteous in Christ, and therefore our prayers are heard. Let me ask a question. Why do we pray? I don't think this is on the screen. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Have you ever thought? Most of us do end our prayers in Jesus' name or for Jesus' sake. Why do we do it? Yes, if it wasn't for Jesus, our prayer wouldn't mean much. If it wasn't for Jesus, We could pray for these five people and it wouldn't really be effective. We can't be righteous outside of Jesus. One example that helped me, we have five children now. So when we go to the park, we've got an age range of 8 years, and some of the other children will come and join us, and sometimes they're leaving the park by the time we get there, but then they turn around because they've got a playmate of their age. So we end up taking food and games, not just for our five, but for a few more than five. And I'd find it quite hard if one of our children brought along a friend of theirs to have whatever snacks we were giving out, to refuse. And they know that if there's enough food in the bag, then we'll share the food with others. When God hears our prayers for Jesus' sake, it's as if Jesus, as his son, goes to his father and says, "This is one of mine, one of my friends. Hear their prayer. Grant their request." Now, that example may not mean so much, but I hope it helps. It helps that when we pray for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name, Jesus then goes to the Father and says, "Father, hear this prayer. This child is your child. This is my younger sibling. I'm coming on behalf of them." I don't know, for those of you who are parents of more than one child, that's a few, but if they come together and ask for the same thing, it's harder to refuse. But we'll come on to that a bit later. So we can pray personally, and that's what these cards are about. Then we pray as a congregation. So tomorrow night, as a congregation, we're going to pray for Little Gates. What does God want to do? We're handing back the keys. The children will find other schools. What does God want to do with Little Gates? We're going to pray as a congregation. But we don't just pray personal prayers and congregational prayers, because if we were to do that, it would be quite selfish. It'd be a bit closed. So we have to go beyond the congregation to the crowd. Yes, to the community. So we have to go beyond our congregation. So this last week, quite a few of us went to Wimbledon tennis, not to watch, but to be part of a group of Wimbledon churches that go every year and just take something to eat, something to drink to those who are camping overnight, queuing to get into the next day's play. And we've been doing that for quite a few years. And that's a way to reach the community. Now, for these 2 weeks, we're in the middle of a fortnight where the whole world comes to London. I mean, and I say the whole world, people from all over the world come to London in this fortnight. So it's quite a good time to think about the community. And if you didn't go last week, then there's opportunities this week. I think Wednesday's full, but speak to me if you really need to go on Wednesday. But there's lots of space on other days as well. And it's quite easy to share your faith in that way. One, because they can't run away because they're camping. But two, because people are quite relaxed. So if you were to go on a Monday morning to South Wimbledon Tube or Tooting Broadway Tube or Collierswood Tube, and people are on their way to work, and you're trying to share your faith, then you might be successful, but people are on a mission. But when they're at a fair, or when they're camping overnight, and they've got lots of time on their hands, it's a bit easier. So that's one way in which we reach the community. Little Gates is another way that we've reached outside the walls of those who come to church. And nothing we do should be done without prayer. Nothing we do should be done without prayer. Now, you may have heard this as a child. I know that I did. God speaks to us when we read the Bible, and we speak to God when we pray. Now, it's true, but it's an oversimplification, because prayer's not a monologue where we go to God and say, "This, this, 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 and this." So we might go to God with these five people, but he might add others. I mentioned earlier a pray-off, where you're praying for one thing and someone else is praying for the opposite. It's never the case that we can go to God and ask for someone's salvation and somebody else can pray off against us. Because Paul says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 that God wants everybody to be saved. So whichever names are on there, don't think that they don't qualify. I put as one of my five, the person that I think is actually most least likely to be saved. He's one of the professors from St. George's, and I see him, we have a similar commute, and we chat, but he's an ardent atheist. And as I think I mentioned this earlier, even a cute photograph of Ruth to invite him to her dedication, he didn't even accept the invitation. We speak quite amicably, but as soon as he knew what it was, even with a cute photo of a cute baby on the front, he gave it back to me. He's probably the hardest person that I know of. But we're in a good relationship, so God can do that. If God can turn around Saul to Paul, then God can turn around anybody I know, and God can turn around anybody you know. It's an oversimplification to say that we speak to God when we pray because God will want to say something back to us. He speaks. He's a God who communicates. If we had an audience with the Queen, I would do less speaking than talking, less speaking than listening. The Queen once asked me a question at St. George's when, I think some of you know this story, but she came and I was part of a small group round a table, and we were discussing a case of somebody who had hearing loss, and we gave as one of our reasons wax in the ear. And the Queen looked at me and said, "Why does one get wax?" I had no idea. I had no idea. And this isn't the kind of silence that we should have before God. Because I had no idea and didn't want to display my ignorance to the Queen, I stared at my friend. And he very, very helpfully and graciously gave an answer that I don't know whether it was right or wrong, but it meant I didn't have to make my ignorance known to the Queen. Now, we shouldn't ignore the Queen. I shouldn't have ignored the Queen, but I didn't want to make a fool of myself. But none of us, when we're praying, should ignore what God says. And we should do as much listening in prayer as we do talking. So it's not that God speaks when we read the Bible, we speak to God when we pray. When we pray, it's a conversation. So expect God to speak to you about those people, because they're on his heart more than they're on mine or yours. Whoever's on there is on God's heart even more than they're on your heart and mine. Now, we hold people dear, but God has a heart for them that goes beyond even our heart for them. And the other thing, and this is where I want to just kind of get a bit practical for the last few minutes, is we can pray using the Bible. So if you're stuck for what to pray, go to the Bible. And I'm going to give you five verses over the next few minutes where you can use those scriptures as prayer. Now, they're not prayers in scripture that you can use those as well. But if ever you're stuck, just pray scripture. Pray scripture if ever you're stuck. So, okay, we're talking about prayer, communication with God, and then there's a personal, there's a congregational, and then there's a community. We're focusing on the personal. Don't forget the congregational comes into session. Don't forget praying for the community, where we're praying for Little Gates, where we're going out to the queues at Wimbledon Tennis over the next week as well. Just one thing, if you were stuck for five people, if all we do is meet other Christians, then we probably need to change our lifestyle a bit. If the only people we meet are Christians, we probably need to change our lifestyle. And the group that organise the churches getting together to the tennis outreach is a group called Third Space Ministry. And Third Space is a reference to not what surgeons talk about, third space. It's first space is where you live, second space where you work. Now, for some people, they live with Christians and they work with Christians, but we all have a third space, which is what we do in our free time. So if you are stuck for five, then think, what can I do in my free time that will give me some people to whom I can relate? Just before we look at those scriptures, let me ask this question, and it might be quite a personal. I asked you earlier, when was the most recent answer to prayer you've received? What's the longest prayer you've been praying? Or what's the prayer that you pray that God seems not to be answering? Because prayer isn't where we go to God and say, God, do this, 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 and this. We know that God wants to save everyone because it's written in God's word. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. God wants everybody to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants all to be saved. But what about that prayer for healing? Or the prayer for salvation for someone and you've been praying for them for decades? Or the prayer that God would give you a job or a house or a family who love you or a spouse to marry? What about those prayers? God doesn't promise to answer our prayers in the way we want and when we want. But he's a God who communicates and he will always answer. So if there's a prayer you've been praying and you're ready to give up because you say, God, I've had enough, or you're ready to take things into your own hands, keep praying the prayer. And there's one thing that you can do again. We'll look at a scripture. Maybe ask somebody to join you in praying for that same thing. Because, like I said, when people come in agreement, it's harder. And we're going to see that from scripture. Let's just look at five scriptures which will help us. And just think, I'm going to give you these five. And it's not that you can only pray one scripture for each one of those five. But maybe just think, which of those five people that are on that list will I pray which of these five prayers? And I'm going to go to scripture for them. And the first is this. The first, we're in a harvest season as church. We're focusing on the harvest. We prayed a lot in India, about India. Then we prayed about the Shofar congregation that's going to start this month in the Netherlands, in Utrecht. So if you want a holiday venue and you've not chosen, then think about going to the Netherlands and you can go and bless them there. And we're going to be praying for Malawi shortly as well, over the next few weeks in small group. The harvest season is all about Jesus because he's the Lord of the harvest. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, we read this. Jesus said to the disciples, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So the first prayer that you can pray for one of these five or for anybody is this, to ask God to send somebody to them. Now that's perhaps especially a prayer if the person on there is far away. You can't communicate them, you can't invite them to church so easily. They might live in another country, or for some reason it might be hard. Their family would disown them if they came to church with you. Pray this prayer. Jesus, Lord of the harvest, I ask that you will send some of your workers to that person. Just to say, some of you know Nadine, who used to be part of this congregation. And last Sunday, she's at a church in Ipswich, and she sent a word that was given from someone in Australia to someone in their church in Ipswich, which was that God wanted at this time to unblock wells of salvation in the UK. And that was the same word that the team from South Africa came when they were asked, what are they here to do? The answer on the street is pray. The specific answer to those who know was, we're praying that wells of salvation here in the UK that have been blocked will be unblocked. So God sent them from South Africa to come here and pray. And if you've got family in Wales or Scotland or Ireland, then maybe what they do, even if they don't meet them, will be significant. The first prayer that you can use to pray for any of those five is to ask God to send somebody to meet and minister to that person. Ask God to send workers. And remember this, it's not our harvest field. We're not in charge of the harvest. We're not the farmer. God's in charge. And if he's in charge, he knows who needs to be where. He knows when somebody needs to be transferred from the northeast to the northwest, or when somebody needs to come down to London. He knows, because it's his harvest field. It's not our job to tell him who needs to be where. So that's the first prayer. Ask for workers. Ask the Lord of the harvest, Jesus said, to send out workers into his harvest field. I mentioned third space and what we can do in our free time. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9. He said this, I've become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. He says all possible means, doesn't even say all moral and legal, but in whatever you choose, make sure it's moral and make sure it's legal. But there's a whole range, a whole scope for you to do different things. If you have a heart for people who own dogs, you can get a dog. It might not be your first choice, but be willing to change, because Paul was. He was willing to become all things to all people so that by all possible means, all, but not all will get saved. Because we don't force salvation on anyone. God doesn't force salvation on anyone. Our prayers can't force salvation on anyone. But some we should expect to be saved. Think about the person who led you to salvation. Were they willing to become a bit like you or do the thing that you do in order to help you in that journey of salvation? Be willing to change. Be willing to play a different sport. Some of you remember a pastor from South Africa, Werner. He came here, and I saw him 2 years apart, and he put on about 20 kilos in those 2 years, but not unintentionally. He decided that he was going to reach out through playing rugby, and therefore he needed to beef up. So he beefed up. Now, I thought, oh, do I have to put on 20 kilos to reach certain people? But you don't have to. One of the congregation here found out there's a table tennis club now. You don't need big muscles for table tennis, do you? And they meet on a Sunday afternoon. So if you want to meet someone, if you're struggling for five names, then you can play table tennis or you can do something. But be willing to change. Be willing to try something that you've not tried before. Be willing to go places that you've not been before. So the first is to ask God to send workers. The second is to be willing to change. And the third way is to seek opportunities to witness. I've called them open doors. Listen to what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4. He's writing to a church. He says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. We have a message. It's an important message. But sometimes people's hearts are closed. Sometimes countries are closed. I don't know. You probably, most of you, too young to remember. Albania was a closed country when I was a child at church. And it no longer is. There was an iron curtain that there no longer is. God can move people from one part of the world to another part of the world so that they can hear the gospel. God can change, work through authorities that we might think shouldn't be there. God can work through authorities to change the political environment so that people can hear what they need to hear. And there's even a ministry called Open Doors, a guy called Brother Andrew, who I met once on mission in Pakistan, where that's what they do. They trust God to change circumstances so that people can hear. Now, maybe one person on that list or more is not in this country. Maybe they're in a country where there's no church that will teach them the Bible. I don't know what it might be, but God can open a door. And even for the people who are local, God knows what doors need to be open in their minds and in their hearts so that they can receive the message. So ask God for an opportunity. Some of the people who I put on that list, I know that the open door into their life is through their children, because our children play with their children. C.S. was here a while ago, and he said, people should see a difference. So their children might fall over in the park and they swear. Your children fall over in the park and hopefully you don't. It can be little things that make a difference. One friend came to church a couple of years ago and hasn't been since. she's kind of got into her own faith, which sometimes is what happens. But the reason she came to church is because she said, how come your children can relate so well to each other? And we said, it's because of God. Because we parent them in the way that God parents us. And because of that, she came to church. She took four of them to the museum yesterday, and whether they still behave as well as she thought they did 2 years ago, I'm not sure. But that was why. There was an open door to her because she saw our children. And there'll be an open door for each person on that list. Now, it might be in a time of need, they know they can come to you because you'll pray. And not just pray, but help practically as well. So while we pray, we should always be prepared to act. If we're not prepared to act, which is why I asked the question, be prepared before you start praying to be the answer to your own prayers. We should always be prepared to act. If we're not prepared to change our actions, then we may as well not pray. Ask God for the open door. For some people it will be children, for other people it might be a health need. God knows what it is. And as I said earlier, prayer doesn't mean that we get what we want when we want. There's people on the list that we've been praying for decades who are still not saved. But prayer will always change. Prayer will always bring about change. Even if that change is only in us. But prayer will bring about change, because if we invite God into a situation, if we acknowledge God in presence in a situation, then things will change. We can talk a lot. We could talk about strategies for evangelism, and there's a place for that, and we will. But talking can lead to confusion. I'm sure we've all seen examples of that. Talking causes confusion. We can miscommunicate. But prayer always leads to clarity. Prayer always leads to clarity. Now, can we pray things at times and get them wrong? We can. We can pray something that is the wrong timing or the wrong outworking. But if you pray in Holy Spirit, then you can't pray wrong, because your spirit is praying. So you're praying in a language that you don't understand with your mind. They're not words that are intelligible to you. They may be intelligible to somebody else. But you're praying from your spirit to God's spirit, and you're bypassing your mind. You're not out of your mind, some people would say that. It's as if you're taking your mind and temporarily putting it under your arm so that you can pray from your spirit to God's spirit. And if you don't pray like that and you'd like to, then just ask somebody at the end and they can pray with you, or come to the front and we'll pray with you for that. When you pray in Holy Spirit, your prayer will never be off. You might not understand it with your mind, but God's Spirit will understand. Opportunities to witness. And here's the fourth. So be thinking of those five. Which one of these, or which more than one of these five ways to pray are you going to? The fourth is this: to speak with boldness. This is Acts chapter 4. Luke is writing, it's verse 29. And this was how the believers prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats. They were at risk. They were under persecution. Some of them didn't want them to be around. And enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. We have it quite easy in the UK. Some churches have to operate in a context where their very lives are at risk. Their existence as a church is under threat. And we should pray for them, but also pray for ourselves that we'll be bold. That we will take an opportunity when God gives us an opportunity. That we won't shy away from that opportunity. And that when we speak with boldness. And if you've prayed and involved God in this situation, then God will give us words to say. So we can speak with boldness. God doesn't expect perfection from us. He expects us just to involve him, to follow him, to allow him to lead. Speak with boldness. And then the fifth way, back to the Gospels, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. I mentioned this earlier. If you've been praying a prayer for a long time, it's not been answered, then perhaps ask somebody to join you in that prayer. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. If two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Now, can we agree for, you can agree with someone for Murray to win Wimbledon and somebody else will win. What kind of agreement is that? It's a righteous agreement where two people both hear from God. So we had the word that came from Australia to Ipswich via Nadine to London, God wanting to unblock wells. The same word that was heard in South Africa, so a team came to pray to unblock those wells. They're praying in agreement. Let me ask another question just as we close. Is God ever confused? Has God ever been confused? Does God ever contradict himself? When we pray in agreement, I mentioned if children come together, they're not asking for separate things. One wants to go to this place and another wants to go to that place. They've talked, they've come to agreement. Can we go and do this? It's harder to say no. And when God sees us agree, that's why corporate prayer is significant and important. You can be praying something or thinking something and somebody else prays it. Don't not pray it. Pray it. Because that's where there's agreement. Scripture talks about establishing things by two or three witnesses. That's why coming together to intercede before the service on a Sunday or on a Monday is important. If there's a new small group, praying together for the vision for that small group, where there's agreement, that's where God can act. Let me ask one last question and then we'll just get practical for a minute. What does amen mean? We say it. We usually end our prayers in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, amen or amen. What does it mean? There's Amen Corner in Tooting. Why do you think it's called Amen Corner? Yeah, but what landmarks are there very close to each other? St. Boniface and St. Nicholas, two churches. I think that's why it's called Amen Corner. That's why it's called Amen Corner in my mind. The churches are there. There's lots of prayer going on there. Amen means yes. Before God, I agree with that prayer. Yes, I believe that to be true. Yes, I want that to be so. When you hear someone else pray and you agree, add an amen. Say a yes. That's what it means. I agree. When God hears on earth prayers that are in agreement, not just for anything, but prayers according to his will that are in agreement, Jesus says, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So it's not good to preach on prayer and then not give opportunity for prayer. You should all have the five names in front of you as well. I'm going to ask that you do this in pairs. So Neil and John, Charlotte and Annie, Lottie and Elaine. And then we'll sort ourselves out briefly with Lara. Just pray in agreement. So you're praying for one of your five. And you don't need to explain who they are. You don't even have to use their name. It would be good to use their name because then you can agree. But the person who doesn't might not even know them can just add an amen to your prayer and say, yes, I agree with that prayer of Neil's. I also want that person to be saved, even if I don't know them. I agree with that prayer. So we'll just do that in pairs. Just take 1 minute each. So 1 minute you're listening and agreeing. The next minute you're leading and the other person's agreeing with you. And then we'll close. Thank you, God, that when we pray, we can speak to you about these people before we speak to them about you, as we learned last week. God, thank you that your heart is for all, that you desire all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So, God, we speak revelation knowledge over those people for whom we're praying now and those for whom we will continue to pray, that, Holy Spirit, you will unblock their ears, that you will open their eyes, that hearts that have been hardened to you and to your word will be softened. Even God, perhaps anything that's poisoned, that you'll give antidotes to whatever it may be, so that your word can be received. And God, we thank you that your word is powerful. We thank you that your word is living. We thank you that your word gives life. And we speak the life of your word over ourselves, the children downstairs, and over all those for whom we have a desire. God, thank you that that desire for others to be saved is a God-given desire. Thank you that it is your desire, that you have it as well as us, that you have it more than we do. God, we honor you, knowing that you rule and reign, even when circumstances are tough for us here. And we trust ourselves and those for whom we are praying. God, we trust ourselves and them to you, knowing that you're good, knowing that you care, knowing that you're righteous, knowing that you hear every prayer. Help us to be faithful to continue in prayer. Thank you for every opportunity that you're going to give this week. Thank you for those that we've heard about over the last week. God, thank you that your kingdom is coming and that you choose to build your kingdom, to extend your kingdom through your people. Lord, we pray that your will be done, not ours, but your will, for all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Your will be done here on earth, here in this city, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep on praying, keep your cards. And if you need prayer, then either where you are with the person you've been praying for, or come to the front. Sally said earlier, she gave testimony of healing. God still desires to heal. We've got oil and we can anoint you for healing. If you have prayer, for a need of prayer for any other reason, then please don't go. Don't leave the room before the need's met. Either come to the front or continue praying in your prayers. And we'll start the Encounter One course in about a quarter of an hour. There's some refreshments served in the room behind. But if you want to stay here, continue praying, then please do that. We'll respect your space as you do.